Well, hi there, it's Matthew Blades, and welcome to another episode of Learn From People Who Lived It. We are about to have a really cool experience on this episode as Joya is going to let us into her space while her client and friend Annie receives a sound bath. It was single-handedly one of the most remarkable moments of my healing journey. And if you've never experienced a sound bath, Joya's version is extra special. All of that coming up on this episode of Learn From People Who Lived It. First up, a word from our January sponsor. Hi there, it's Matthew Blades, and I want to tell you about my friends at Herbie Design because we've been using them for more than 10 years for our hockey programs. But Herbie Design does team apparel faster and less expensive than most. They do embroidery, laser etching, custom awards, and really anything else you need to make your brand amazing. And I've used them to make all of my Learn From People Who Lived It thank you gifts and to create custom sweatshirts for our team moms and dads. But like I said, they're capable of so much more, and they can get it done faster and for less money than the others. Visit Herbie Design online at herbiedesign.com. And remember, they work with charter schools, dance schools, hockey programs, small businesses, large law firms, volleyball clubs, booster clubs. They can certainly work with you. When you get on the phone with Jim, let him know Matthew Blades from Learn From People Who Lived It sent you. You'll find him online at herbiedesign.com. That's H-E-R-B-I-E-Design.com. Well, let me do my best to paint the scene of our room right now. Annie's on the bed to the right of me. Joya's directly to my left in a white leather chair. There's all these bowls across the wall. I mean, I'm actually going to need Joya's help to explain what's sitting on this wall, but we are about to witness a sound bath today, which is kind of cool. Thank you for inviting us into your space. We are at Vibology today. Joya, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm so great. Thank you for coming over here to my magical space. I'm so honored that you're here.
I'm excited to be here. Annie's on the table, as we mentioned, and we're going to get to her in just a couple of moments and find out what she's in for. But explain to me what we're looking at right now.
On my shelves, I've got different crystal bowls. Most of them are gem-infused crystal bowls. So the purple ones have amethyst and quartz. Some have platinum, some have ruby. That one has gold. Up there are those beautiful Koshi chimes, the bells that makes just beautiful sounds. I've got some shapakas that I got from Peru. I've got some metal bowls, Tibetan bowls. There's chimes.
It's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And then that antique head you see up there, I call him Top Knot. And it's this Tibetan head that I found at this antique shop that I had to have.
I can see why. I can see why. If you go to your website, you see that you woke up from a dream precisely at 2:22 a.m., three nights in a row, one August in 2020. What the heck was happening in those dreams?
Ooh, yeah, in the dream, I woke up because I was seeing in the dream, I was standing on a stage and there was a group of women on the stage with me, and I couldn't really see who they were, but I could see out in the audience, there were all these people, and their hands were raised in the air, and they were all just singing one note together. And I could see the cymatics. If people don't know what cymatics are, it's actually the visual imprint that sound makes. So you can see it in water, you can see it on speakers if you use cornstarch and things, and you can see the sacred geometry, really, that sound makes. And I could see these imprints going out and being imprinted onto the field, onto the quantum field, and see how it was going out like a wave, and that vibration of energy was uplifting the planet, was uplifting people who were being bathed in that energy without being aware of it. And on the third night, I woke up and I said, is this something that you want me to do? I asked this to my higher self, and I felt this yes all over my body. And so then for the last 2 years, really, I've talked about it. Annie knows. I've talked to her about it. I've talked to a lot of people about it. And it's been this vision and this dream that I really had to then become the woman who could create it, who could live into it, to be that, to be the face of it, to be the spokesperson, to call in all the right people and the right vibrations and partners to do it.
What were you doing leading up to that?
A lot of inner work. I mean, I was doing sound healing. I was doing mindfulness training in corporate. That's where I was doing most of my work. And after that, I started tapering it down because I really started focusing on doing more of my sound healing and just doing you know, it was really about a lot of the inner work, because being a sound healer already requires that I empty myself really of ego to allow the higher vibrational healing vibrations of the universe to come through. Anybody who's ever been in a flow state can kind of understand what I'm talking about, because it's very much like that, where my thoughts have checked out, my ego has checked out, and I'm just in this space of doing, creating.
I'm smiling because I love when I get into that place. And now I've become so aware of it that sometimes when I'm talking to the person, I'll say, listen, this doesn't even feel like me. It just feels like it's coming through me right now, but I need to communicate this. And I need to say this.
Yes.
And these types of things start happening to me. And you do. You can get to a point where you sort of feel like a vessel.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of neat, eh? That's kind of neat. So, well, that's how it all started. Before we get to what we're going to do here today, I saw on your website that you love, in all caps, live music. And so since I was a radio personality for 27 years, let's start right there. What live shows left their mark on you?
Oh, my gosh. So many. I was so fortunate to grow up with, well, I'm going to say fortunate that in, despite my rough and awful childhood, on the plus side, my parents were musicians. And so we traveled around a lot to festivals. And I grew up on the bluegrass circuit as a kid. So I still love bluegrass music. And I love to go to the Telluride Bluegrass Festival. And that feeling of freedom will still come over my body. It was actually a first date question for my husband when I met him 11 years ago, my second husband. My first date question was, do you like live music? And if somebody said no, then that was it. That was a deal breaker.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that there's been a lot of shows that have left a mark. And recently was it 2021? I think it was 2021 when Fogerty did the Telluride Blues Festival, and he had his son there playing guitar, and they played all the Creedence songs because it was the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. And so that was so much fun. The whole audience, everybody was singing along, and it was just such a blast.
Yeah. I think I always used to say to people for 27 years, the reason I loved music so much was because there's so much crazy hate in the world and there's so much ego in the world. But you know, when somebody's on the stage and there's a collective experience happening, all that disappears.
Yep.
And you can, if you can feel it, you can feel it disappear.
Yeah.
And that's the energy, right? You know, I wrote down because I was so lucky to see so many shows, and I wrote down a few here. Like Garth Brooks is probably one of my favorite live experiences.
I've seen Garth. Yeah. Very good show.
Right?
Yeah.
But just a great live experience. Everybody was into it. There wasn't any bad moods in the house. It was like he was throwing the biggest party on the planet Earth. And I think those are things that are just incredible. Lyle Lovett and John Hyatt doing a duo show in Milwaukee, seeing them on the stage together, telling stories.
Wow.
Again, just these cool shared experiences with everybody. That's what live music does.
Yeah.
When you obviously recognize the power of music because you're bringing sound to the healing. You know what I mean? That's pretty cool. So that's not a big stretch for you, is it?
No, you know, it's funny. It took me a long time, though, to recognize that this is totally my purpose and why I'm here on this planet, is to do this work and to be this channel for sound and the healing power of music and sound for people. And yeah, it's really... it just elicits this profound sense of gratitude in me for always having been around music and realizing and recognizing the power of music for the reasons that you said, and also the healing powers and properties that it has for the human body. And the etheric bodies are just mind-blowing.
It's a podcast, so you can't see it, but you can literally see in your face how much this lights you up. It's so clear. You mentioned a tough childhood, and I'm sure for most healers will resonate with this statement. I think it's the reason a lot of us do the work we do. It's because we've been down the road. We've seen the pain. We've felt the hurt. We know what it feels like to feel all the feels. And we get to a point in our lives where we say, man, I want to help other people get out of that. And so you mentioned to me in kind of our leading up to this interview that you're a 9 on the aces. So I'm going to need to back up a little bit. And first, can you explain what the aces score is for people that don't know and understand this?
Yeah, aces stands for adverse childhood experience score. And the higher your score, the greater you are at risk for all kinds of things. Not just, what I find really fascinating about it is that it's not just things that you would expect, like prison or early teen pregnancies or drug addiction or things like that. But
I would
also
imagine physical stuff.
Physical stuff.
Cancer.
Yes, exactly. And that's, I mean, and that just goes to show and prove how strong that emotional and mind-body connection really is, that we store all of those experiences in the body and they don't get processed out, and that they start to manifest as dis-ease, that you're experiencing the dis-ease that you had as a child carries forward. And so, yeah, it's heart disease and cancers and all kinds of mental health problems. It's really mind-blowing how connected, and the statistics and the data that they have compiled is out there. And it's really one of the main reasons that I do what I do.
So if you're taking, I don't know if you take a test or you like a quiz or something like that to find out, what kinds of questions are they asking?
It's questions of, do you have a parent who has been imprisoned? Did you experience sexual abuse? Did you experience verbal abuse, physical abuse? A parent who has died, divorce,
real life stuff.
Real life
stuff that we all deal with.
Yes.
But we never, most of us don't process it until it becomes a real big issue.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's too late.
Exactly.
So, okay. Well, this is interesting. So your score was a 9.
Yes, a 9 out of 10.
That sounds incredibly high. Is that really, is there a low percentage of people that get that high on the ACEs score?
Yeah, there is a low percentage of people that get that high. And statistically, I should not be the person that I am today at all. And most of us have at least one. Most people have at least one, especially with divorce being one, right?
Sure.
A lot of people come from divorced parents. So that's already a trauma that most people are walking around with.
Yeah. Do you believe, as I do, that some people don't even understand that they can have generational trauma? Like their mom's mom could have experienced some things, and that kind of gets passed down through them. You're shaking your head, yes. So tell me what you know about that.
Yeah, epigenetics. And what I find really fascinating is, like, as mothers, right? So your mother, when she was in the womb of your grandmother, already had all of her eggs in her body. So that means that you, the little egg you came from, was already in the body of your mother as a baby, as an embryo, as a baby in her grandmother's belly, who was experiencing trauma or was drinking or was doing drugs or whatever that they did back in the day before we knew, oh, these things are not good for the baby. We shouldn't be doing this. And so that gets passed on. And then, of course, there's research and data showing that parents who, if you have grandparents or great-grandparents who were alcoholics, that even if your parents didn't drink, you still have a pre-wired predisposition for alcoholism. So yeah, it gets wired into our body and our DNA.
Uh-huh. And then, so back to this ACEs thing, I'm guessing most people fall at 3 or 4. And so what can people do? Like, when you're taking the quiz, do they then offer some solutions and strategies to say, okay, if you fall within a 3 to a 5, here are some things you might want to look into. If you're 5 and above, here are some things you might want to look into. Is it like that?
It's not really recommendations. So usually your therapist will have you take.
Oh, okay, makes sense.
So it's like a secondary thing that other people you're working with will have you take the test to find out where you are.
Are you comfortable talking about some of these ACEs?
I am, because I'm perfectly healed from them. So
yeah.
It doesn't trigger me anymore.
How do we get to a 9? What's happened to you, around you?
For me. Yeah, for me, because there is post-traumatic growth and that is possible. And sexual abuse is number one. That's one of my earliest childhood memories, is having memories of that experience when I was about 3 years old, I remember. Physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse. My mom regularly told me that she didn't love me. She hated me. She wished she would have aborted me. I had, both of my parents were alcoholics. I started drinking at a very young age. When I was 12 was when I started drinking alcohol. I spent my teen years as a runaway, living on the streets of Southern California, couch surfing, being thrown in and out of group homes and foster homes and being in the system and all of those things. It was a very, very traumatic childhood, and I didn't deal with any of that stuff. And that resulted, when I was 21, in a suicide attempt, just from being so numb and so shut down and so hopeless, like that dark, hopeless, utterly lost feeling, and feeling like I didn't belong with other people and didn't fit in, and being, you know, being in that age, in that age of 20, 21, and being around other people who are my age, and they, you know, they're talking about their high school experiences and their normal childhood experiences. And I'm like, I do not relate. And it was, and when you're unhealed from all of that stuff and you're comparing your reality to other people's reality, there's a sense that there's something wrong with you. And of course, now I know from all of the work that I've done around mindfulness and learning about the brain and neuroscience that the brain seeks to answer the questions you ask it. So if I'm just constantly asking myself, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? All I'm going to see around me is what's wrong with me. And that was my constant mantra, was what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? And that led me to a suicide attempt. And then after that was when I began the long journey, the very long journey of trauma healing and healing all of the memories and the everything there. And it really, and trauma healing really is forgiveness work. That's really all it is.
And the understanding that it's never going to go away. You're never going to forget about it. It's right. it's going to come to the surface at some point, right? These triggers that people talk about now. I mean, that stuff's real.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, the difference is the healed person kind of knows what to do when it gets there. That's it. That's really the only difference.
Yeah. And I think that really, honestly, the deepest healing came when, just this summer, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
So this is how long I've been doing this work, but I still felt this disconnect. Like there was something disconnected. And I would talk to my friend Celia about it all the time. And I was like, I just feel like there's like something that's like not connecting. And it was during a really intense breathwork practice and bodywork practice that I literally felt this aspect of my consciousness pop back into my body. It really felt like a pop back into my body. And I was like, oh my gosh, I remembered when it left. I remembered being like 3, 4 years old and saying to myself, oh, I don't have to be here. And I totally learned how to like disassociate this part of my consciousness and get it out of my body. And so that work, when that happened, it really led me into this whole question of, I said, what if, you know, like you were saying earlier, right? Like we were having a conversation before and about the brain and trying to solve our problems at the level of our thinking, at the level of our thinking mind, at the level of our intellect, trying to rationalize with it and heal that way. And I said, what if the whole body is actually the unconscious mind? And that's why when something gets triggered, it overrides the thinking mind and you can't stop yourself. You go on to autopilot. And so I really started doing work and research around if that was possible. And I found the work of Dr. Candace Pert, and there's a talk on Sounds True. And I tell everybody to find it and listen to it if they have had trauma. And it's called The Body is the Subconscious Mind. And she talks about how our emotional responses happen everywhere in the body. They don't just happen in the brain. And we also do know that, right? We already know that it doesn't just happen in the brain. And we have all these people out there saying the body keeps the score. But the body is the subconscious mind is a different story altogether. And when I really realized that, then that brought me into learning to be present with whatever feelings arise and allowing them to exit the body. And recognizing that it's energy that's stuck that wants to leave, and giving myself permission to do that. And I do it with sound. And that's what I help other people do, is use your voice. And I call it sound it out, sound it out. Let it get out of your body. Don't tell yourself a big story about it. It's an emotional response that's stuck in the body, and it doesn't necessarily have a story attached to it. It's got a chemical response attached to it. It's got an emotional response attached to it, not a story. And if we don't tell ourselves a story about what's going on, we can free ourselves much faster.
It seems like a good time to bring Annie into our conversation, because I thank you for your patience, by the way. Clearly, you're in good hands, and clearly you're working with somebody here who's been around the block, as they say. How does what you just heard about her help you feel even more comfortable when she's working with you?
Everything that she was saying really resonates with me. And it just, listening to her right now just makes me excited for this sound bath coming up. And it just helps me drop in, just knowing that, like you said, I am in good hands.
Yeah, she says drop in. What does she mean for people that don't understand that?
jumping into her body, her consciousness, becoming present, very present, and dropping away the thinking and just coming home to the body.
Yeah. Why did you start doing sound baths with her? What was the catalyst for you, Annie?
I'm always on the lookout for new spiritual things. I had done sound baths before, but we were friends and I wanted to experience what she had to offer, and she's amazing. So
yeah. Last summer I was in a retreat up in Sedona and I had a sound bath after my third day. And I love sharing this experience of the sound bath because it's like life. I get on the floor. I was on the floor while she's getting ready for my sound bath. And I'm laying there and she starts doing the frequency. And all of a sudden, I am more agitated than I've ever been in my entire life. Like real agitation is flowing through me. And I have this feeling in my head of like, okay, you've been cool with everything else they've presented you this past few days. If this isn't the thing for you, then it's okay. But yet I couldn't really get up. I couldn't bring myself to physically move my body and get up. And so I just sat there with this agitation and my legs started to get restless and my arms started to get restless. And I was literally just this close to quitting. And then I had to pee so bad. Like all of a sudden I have to go to the bathroom and I'm thinking, this is a mess. What is happening here? And then I don't know what happens, but in a literal moment, it feels like somebody plugs an electric socket into the bottom of my feet and my body starts vibrating at a level I've never felt it before. I start swelling up from my gut and I can just feel water leaving my eyes. I'm not really crying, but then this feeling, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this, Annie or Joy, yourself, this feeling moves up my belly and then it's just this uncontrollable sobbing that I experience for what feels like minutes. Long minutes, maybe 6-7 minutes, which is a long time to be crying in a hard way. But I felt 200 pounds lighter after that experience, and I don't weigh 200 pounds. That's what a difference that sound healing did for me. Do you experience anything like that, Annie, when you're going through these therapies?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you do?
It's just that expansive, that definitely the agitation at the beginning sometimes. I have expectations, and it's not working out the way I thought it was supposed to look like. And then when I can just relax and yes, then you just feel the energy move inside and so expansive and so wonderful.
Yeah. So maybe you could talk a little bit about what we're feeling. Why? Because that's interesting that I find a buddy here who's agitated sometimes too. That makes me feel better.
Well, yeah, it's normal to experience it, right? So sound waves, the vibration travels faster through water than it does through the air. And so when you're having sound in your body, it's affecting every cell in your body. It's affecting your blood. It's affecting all of the water in your body. You're just a water being. And your bones are also unbelievably resonant. And they conduct so much electricity. So you can feel that energy moving. And then, going back to the work of Dr. Candace Pert that I just talked about, that her work is called, the book she wrote is Molecules of Emotion. And she talks about how when we have emotional responses, they get stored on the cells. And so when we're having a sound bath and you're working with a practitioner who really understands, like beforehand, I'll ask people, what do you specifically want to work on? What's your intention for the sound bath? So that I know what to do and what to work on with this person. That it can move that energy. It can move that stuck energy. I've had people sobbing. I've had people who ask me if they can scream. I've had people just that want to. I'm like, yes, sound it out. I'm always like, sound it out. Let it out of your body. So it's really those emotions, if you think of those on the cells, right, that they're being vibrated and that your intention and your feeling and you're allowing those things to arise now that have been there for a long time. They can be really old. And again, you don't know why. You don't know why you're sobbing and why you're having so much experience of emotion, but it's energy in motion. It just wants out. It needs to move. And when you do clear it, you do feel so much better.
So why do you think we fight it so much?
Conditioning.
Yeah,
conditioning. We're not, I'm a big advocate for let's normalize crying. Right. If you're sitting and you're moved emotionally and I want to cry because I'm happy, people will be like, oh, I got to stop crying. Got to stop crying. No, you don't. It's a normal reaction. It's a normal, healthy emotion that we emote, and we're supposed to emote. It's energy in motion. And if we don't do it, we're storing it. We lock it in there, or we're missing an opportunity to expand and grow ourselves in a way that we didn't know we could, when we can allow more emotion in to feel.
I like to tell everybody, think about yourself like you're like one of those 5-pound buckets at Home Depot, right? And somebody fills you up with whatever, water. And then now it's at the top. And so there's no more room. There's no more room for you to grow. You need to literally clear space. You need to move space. You need to empty some of that water out of that 5-pound bucket and make room for some goodness, especially if your life has been a little confusing up to this point. And that's a lot of what we talk about on Learn From People Who Lived It. So I'll stay in that lane, right? People who are experiencing mental wellness problems, mental health problems. Most of us need a spiritual experience. Most of us need to move some incredible trauma from our childhood or our early 20s or teenage years, whatever it is. We need to acknowledge it. And what's cool about the sound bath and what's different about that versus other therapies is you may not have to utter the words. And for some people, that can be really the thing that would make them, I think, choose this over cognitive therapy or working with the psychiatrist and figuring out a medication or whatever they're going to, you know, whatever path they go down. But this is one of the modalities where you don't really have to talk. You can just lay there. And so, Annie, I want to ask you this question. Do you appreciate that aspect of this therapy?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because is it easier for you to lay there and have the experience than it would be to try to articulate the thoughts and the feelings?
Right. You can just shut your mind off and just let your body feel what it needs to feel. And just completely surrender to it, and you don't have to worry about how it's working.
All right. So what's getting ready to happen here? Walk us through your strategic plan, and then we'll pause, we'll get set up, and we'll rejoin it in progress. But what's on the plan here?
Well, I love that you wanted to come here and tune in and check out how I do a sound bath, because I do it a little bit different. I use drums a lot. I use my voice a lot. I've trained in with a master teacher to sing on the meridian system and hear and feel where those energetic blocks are and remove those. So I make crazy sounds with my voice.
Can't wait.
And I usually warn people if they haven't had a sound bath with me and ask if it's okay. You know, I'm going to be close up on your body with my mouth. Is that okay? And Annie knows, she's had one before, so she's used to these crazy sounds that come out. But it's really a powerful way of moving people. I also have a monochord sound table.
What's that?
That Annie's laying on. So a monochord is, it was created by Pythagoras way back in the day. So it's one note, and this has 60 strings under it, and it's all tuned to C, so which is the root chakra and the crown chakra. So it's tight. It's the whole body system in there.
You tell me it looks like a harp underneath there?
Yes, okay. That's exactly what it looks like. Yep, that's exactly what it looks like. And then I use, crystal bowls. And again, it's super intuitive. It's very intuitively guided. I call it, in the language of Yeshua in the Aramaic, it's your nafsha, which is your higher self. And it's actually a very real thing. We would call it our vital life force in quantum physics, that's what's connected to the field. That's how we get ideas. That's how we are alive. And so it's really tuning into this aspect. I'll tune into Annie's and I just get guided. It's really this guidance that comes in that I trust and follow.
So after a couple of moments of moving some things around, we were ready for our sound bath. In the spirit of time, we're going to listen to a condensed version of it now, and you can listen to the full version of the sound bath at the end of this podcast. So we begin with some drumming to call it in, to call in the energy. Ooh. Can you tell me what you think and feel in this moment, Annie?
Just so relaxed. It's like you're waking up from a nap on your best day ever.
What do you feel in that moment there when you're kind of really in it? And because it's a podcast, people can't see, but when you're doing a lot of that voice work, you're really close to her. You're right on top of her abdomen, on top of her heart chakra. And I bet you can feel, like, not just you can hear the noise, but you can feel the vibration, right, Annie?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And when you targeted her heart chakra, mm-hmm. I don't know if in that moment, are you feeling, Annie, like something's going on there in your heart? And like when she says that out loud, is it almost this moment of like, how the hell does she know?
Yes. And just when she had her voice on my heart chakra, it just felt so like almost like my whole chest area and even down to my stomach was like this big drum. Mm. Just feel your voice filling that space.
Interesting.
It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. So this is neat, right? This is an opportunity for some people to experience a different type of healing because all too often in the mental health space, we think we have to go, we have to talk about it, or maybe it's medication. And listen, those are great and viable options for some folks. But for most of us, you know, a little sound bath might clear some space and get us thinking, feeling a little bit better about ourselves. Don't you agree?
Oh, 100%. And that's where... you know, at the end of therapy and at the end of counseling and at the end of even at the end of mindfulness practice where I'm like, OK, I meditate every day and I'm super hyper aware of my thoughts all the time. I know what I'm thinking about. Now what? Now what? And the answer is to go in the body. Now you have to come home into the body and go back to the embodiment practices, whether it's sound or dance or drumming or art or oh, God, there's anything. There's so many things that people can do to come back home into the body. And it wasn't until I started working with sound on myself that I found the truest freedom, the most at peace that I've ever felt, the most inner spaciousness, like you were saying earlier, the 5-gallon bucket. Well, you can't necessarily get rid of your water because that's your water, but I can put it in a way bigger pool. So now it's not taking up any space in me. It's just now a teaspoon in the ocean that I am. And that really came from working with sound, which is one of the things I teach people to do. That's why I had Annie humming. It kind of was an intuitive download to just earlier she said she wanted to work on throat chakra speaking, being in flow when you're speaking. And so that was really that connection that I felt with having her hum it herself, because now that's something that when she's driving in her car, when she's at home cooking, when she's doing whatever, she can remember, oh, I need to hum in my throat to keep my throat chakra activated. And it's a practice that you can keep for yourself to do anywhere.
That's great. Well, I know you've got a passion to raising the vibration. And it's clear to me, you know, kind of what you're all about now as we visited for a little while. You and I talked about something called spiritual Coachella as we start to wrap up.
That is the term that I came to describe the Vibrazer event that we talked about in the beginning of the podcast and what it is and how to describe it, because it is, like we talked earlier, it's the magic of music, the magic of dance, the magic of community and coming together. But the aspect of that most people haven't experienced is coming into resonance together. When we are all singing one note together and holding an intention, it can't even be described. It's something that has to be experienced. It's like trying to tell somebody what an apple tastes like, and they're not going to really know until they bite into it. So it's like the beginning starts like that, where it's this vibration and this coming into coherence. And then we move from there into singing together with a band, and then move from there into dancing together. So it's really, you know, Coachella, it's fun. I love festivals. I'm a festivarian from way back, from the time I could walk. So I love going to festivals. And, you know, one of the aspects of festivals that I feel isn't necessary is all of the alcohol and all of the intoxicants, because our brain is the best neurochemical factory we could ever have. And I mean, we can manufacture in our mind and body the best drugs you've ever been on naturally. You really can. And it comes through vibration. So that's the way I describe it, is like, oh, it's like a spiritual Coachella or a conscious Coachella kind of event where we're all going to sing and dance and have a great time. And we're going to do it sober.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Good for you. Do you have another event coming up? Is it on the way?
It's on the way. Yeah. It's actually 1/22/23, January 22nd. Yeah. It's going to be in Mesa, Arizona at the Sunkist Warehouse, the beautiful historic Sunkist Warehouse. And I've partnered up with HeartMath Institute to measure the coherence and to measure the field, because these things are like, that's the thing about me is I love the mystery and the energy and all of it. And then there's this other part of me that's very scientific, and I always want to know why, how, what, how do we know what's going on? Is this a real thing? And yeah, it's a real thing. And that energy stays with people for days. And so we're going to be measuring it. We're going to be measuring the field and seeing the impact. I'm so excited.
Joy, it's been such a treat to spend some time with you today. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, you too. Thank you so much for coming here and coming in my space and having me on your podcast. Yeah. I so appreciate it.
And Annie, thanks for being our friend in crime here. We appreciate you too.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you, Annie.
Listen, if you're seeking spiritual psychology coaching, sound healing, voice coaching, mindfulness, these are all things you list on your website as things that you can lean into and that you feel you're pretty competent in.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. I encourage you to check out vibology.com. And then you can also visit vibrazer.com for the event that you mentioned that's coming up at the Sunkist. What did you say?
The Sunkist Warehouse. It's a 100-year-old building.
Really?
In Mesa. Yeah.
It sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Sounds really cool. I appreciate everybody tuning in to this episode of Learn From People Who Lived It. I hope that you have a really wonderful day. We've got links to everything Joya is doing on our website at learnfrompeoplewholivedit.com or within the show notes. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And as promised, here is that sound bath now in its entirety.
a heart connection, something happening in the heart, which is where those sounds are coming in. That's whoosh, it's pushing up toward the throat chakra. Is where I'm feeling that energy moving. Ooh.
connection between.